Welcome to Eureka Street Crypto. This is my anti-professional crypto channel. I'm just a barely sane dude who fell down the cryptocurrency rabbit hole. This channel is my fumbling attempt to communicate myself outside my own head about my journey in the crypto space. It is basically my brain dump. None of this is actual financial advice. Good morning, everybody. I'm Eureka John, and you're at Eureka Street Crypto, broadcasting live 5:30 in the morning. It is January 4th, 2022. It's weird saying that. And I'm broadcasting from Leander, Texas, a little suburb just outside of Austin. And this is my morning show. Welcome to my morning brain dump and me just talking about crypto and just whatever happens to pass through my head the night before or the morning of or right now. And constantly learning about crypto. And this is where I talk about it before I go about the rest of my day. Today, I have to drive down to work. So I'm up extra early doing the deal. Yesterday was a really long podcast, an hour and 30 minutes interviewing Vlad Costea, who's a Bitcoin enthusiast. And, it was pretty interesting. You know, there was no real debate about, Bitcoin versus Ethereum. It wasn't like that. It was a really friendly, fun interview. And we talked about NFTs. We talked about Counterparty. We talked about his life. We talked about crypto wallets. We talked about all the magazines that he makes and creativity and stuff like that. It was really cool. It wasn't what a lot of people would probably expect from somebody who is, likes Ethereum like myself versus somebody who's more of a Bitcoin maximalist. You know, a lot of that is just like pro wrestling type of talk on Twitter. Whenever you actually talk to people, we're all here for the same purpose. We want to have fun, too, because crypto should be fun. We shouldn't forget about that. And that's one thing that I think that he's doing. He's a lot of people, and to me, in my view, in the Bitcoin space, have lost the whole idea of fun. And a lot of people in the Ethereum space are starting to as well. And as things are getting more higher, are getting to be more high stakes and investment opportunities rather than just fun. And I think that's kind of what NFTs brings back to it. And they're bringing a new type of investor as well. Somebody who's, because a lot of times traditionally, I guess the person getting into crypto really was libertarian focused, and which I am too, but and really is really thinking about decentralization, the idea of the foundations of money, what fungibility versus non-fungibility is, talking about permissionless and anti-censorship and everything like that. Whereas somebody in the NFT space is mainly just like, hi, I like turtles. this is cool looking. Can I make it my PFP, my profile pic, or can I, use this in my game and transfer, this sword from one game to another? It's a whole different mentality. And, so it's really interesting to see Bitcoin coming full circle back around with things like Counterparty that are allowing NFTs and tokenization of assets and stuff like that in Bitcoin. And they were doing all this stuff in Bitcoin before Ethereum was in some sort of way, and that's another fascinating historical aspect to it, is a lot of this functionality, like through Mastercoin and colored coins and, Counterparty and all this stuff, was around well before Ethereum. And they were playing around with this stuff. And Vitalik Buterin, who founded Ethereum, he was developing and building stuff for Bitcoin, but Bitcoin kind of took a different turn. And Ethereum came about and created, basically this operating system for as a world computer, in a way, with Ethereum being the gas. And Bitcoin kind of, in my view, kind of took a little more of a turn going more towards store of value and stuff. And I know the Bitcoiners say, well, Lightning Network, yes, Lightning Network, you open channels between two people and, there can be tons of quick little transactions and it gets settled when the channel closes. but it's just not as propagated as much right now as a lot of, you know, as Ethereum and a lot of Ethereum layer two solutions are becoming, and a lot of these other smaller blockchains like Avalanche and Cosmos and Harmony, Phantom. You know, there's a lot of other Polkadot alternate layer ones out there that are more akin to Ethereum and made specifically with smart contracts and DeFi and NFTs in mind. Even Ethereum wasn't made with the NFTs in mind, but there are a lot of other options out there where Bitcoin, wasn't made with any of that in mind, but there were these experimental projects like Counterparty and stuff like that that were being made at the time. So there were NFTs on with Bitcoin well before there were NFTs with Ethereum. So that was my point. So it was just interesting to find out about a lot of this stuff through Vlad Costea. He has a really good, healthy perspective on a lot of that stuff. So yeah, and I can clearly tell the guy is a hell of a lot smarter than I am. You know, he didn't go to public school, that's for sure. You know, and I did. So man, all right. All right, somebody's jumping in the chat. I can't pronounce your name because it's in Cyrillic alphabet, and I don't read Russian, or I can't read the Cyrillic alphabet, so I'm sorry, man. Anyway, I would love to learn the Cyrillic alphabet and learn to read Russian. I'm a language nerd, you know. In seminary, I learned Greek and Hebrew and some Aramaic, and then I started to learn Coptic, like Amharic and Amharic as well. And then I've dabbled around, you know, tried to play around with some Arabic and never Chinese or Japanese or anything like that. A little bit Turkish. I don't know. It's always been interesting and fascinating to me, the concept of language and how people form sounds from thoughts, and how different geographic locales and cultural upbringings can influence the sounds that we make out of our mouth in order to be able to communicate with each other. Let's go on to the old CoinGecko here and see what we have going on. I'm not sponsored by anybody. I'm not shilling anything. This is not financial advice. This is not technical advice. And the technical analysis is not fundamental analysis. This is not educational videos. This is just me dicking around with the camera. And So, all right. Bitcoin's at $46,750.91. This is it's pretty interesting. You know, nobody would have predicted this to be where it is right now, but a lot of people are now spouting out 100K. So, all right. They were spouting out 75K at a minimum by year end. And here we are at 46,750. So I don't know. I mean, I don't really care. I'm not really in it for, you know, the price action. I'm learning Web3. I'm watching all this new development. And I think all this will be moving up as a whole. I'm not sitting here focused on day to day or week to week, even month to month right now, price action. This is like the internet at the very beginning of the internet, you know, so you know, there will be some stuff shaken out. The industry as a whole, if you just understood basically what the internet was about, you know, and you learned how to configure things, how to do things, how to build some, you know, small websites or whatever, you were going to make it back then. And a lot of people did. It didn't. A lot of times it's not necessarily just in what you invest in. It's what you know about the specific topic. So you become employable in that area. And I feel the same way as well here with blockchain technology, with Web3 and stuff like that. You know, I might not hit the right projects, even though I think I do have some really good ones in holding those tokens. But, you know, at least I know how to use DeFi very well. I'm learning Solidity and how to code in that aspect. I'm learning, you know, all different types of stuff. You know, I'm very familiar with, you know, how to, well, I think I am. Some people might say otherwise, but you know, I can read a white paper very well and be able to parse it down and see if it's a good project or not, or if it's just total vaporware. And those are skills. Those are skills, you know, to be able to look at projects, see what type of project it is. You know, is this a layer one? Is this a layer two? Is this, you know, is this infrastructure, or is this an NFT project, or is this derivatives, you know, a finance tool? So yeah, all that is a skill set, and it's what you you jump into the crypto space and you see all these competing projects and they all look the same to you, even stable coins. I didn't even know. I thought Tether was some kind of crypto project. It's a stable coin at first, you know, and then you start to sort them all out and it starts to take shape in your mind, you know? So yeah, much like whenever, yeah, I don't know, if you were to see a bunch of, you know, red cars at first, you know, and of, you know, Chevy, Ford, Nissan, Toyota. And then, you know, once you start to become more familiar with those, they all, at first they all kind of look the same. They're all just red cars. But then you start to like become familiar with the different brands, the different types, you know, like the two-door, the four-door, the coupe, you know. And then they, you start to really, the differences really start to stand out to you after that. All right, so let's scroll down here. Ethereum's at $3,832.36. Binance coin at $515.85. Solana $171.08. Cardano $1.34. XRP 83 cents. Polkadot $30.01. And Terra is $88.83. That's the top 10. I left out the two stable coins because they're always a dollar for the most part. Sometimes they might be 99 cents or whatever, or $1.01. And then below that we have Avalanche above the two dog coins. Dogecoin and Shiba Inu, and then Polygon, number 14, sniffing the butts of the dogs. Hopefully it kicks them out, and it jumps up there with Avalanche and Terra. So yeah, interesting stuff. Let's see where Chainlink is at $23.99. Cosmos has taken a jump, 35.1% in the past week. So that's pretty good. And let's see here. We have Phantom taking a big jump. And speaking of Phantom, Andre Kronje is doing a lot of stuff on Phantom. So let's go into my bookmarks, and I will tell you a little bit about Andre Kronje. The dude is basically a genius in my eyes. He created Yearn Finance. He's created Alchemix. He's created a lot of different projects, and then he's been a lending hand into the Phantom blockchain as well. And the Phantom blockchain, it relies on I don't want to say Hashgraph, because Hashgraph is taken up by Hedera Hashgraph, but they've taken Hashgraph technology and created what they call Lachesis or Lachesis or however you want to pronounce it. And let's see here. Where are you? Fahim.eth sent me a little link on Andre Kronje, and I guess it's his LinkedIn profile or whatever. But it just reminded me to just talk about Andre Kronje, because the dude is one of these foundational people in the space. And if you're new, you're starting to learn the names around the space. And Andre Kronje is one of those names, you know, along with Vitalik Buterin, along with Sergey Nazarov, along with Hayden Adams. You know, Andre Kronje is another one of those big names. So let's take a quick look at Andre Kronje here. Oh, well, that's not him. That's a soccer player or a cricket player, it looks like. I guess that's the cricket uniform, looking all Ivy Lee-like and stuff like that. So let's see here. He is about to release a new project on Phantom. And let's see here. Yeah, I think he's one of the founders of Phantom, but I'm not sure. Here's a thread. In 2021, Phantom achieved incredible growth across all key metrics. I expected this growth continue, with Phantom positioned as one of the most exciting base layers headed into 2022. And here's why it should be on everyone's list of key projects to watch. So let's see what Austin Brock has. And Andre Kronje retweeted this, so it must be a good thread. I've been playing around on Phantom. Right now it's still fairly cheap, and there's some pretty good DeFi apps on there. So Phantom employs a DAG-based directed oscillant graph, asynchronous Byzantine fault-tolerant consensus mechanism called Lachesis, secured by proof of stake. This allows for extremely efficient, scalable, and low-cost method of validating transactions. And I used Phantom, and it's fast. It's freaking blinding fast. I'm going to follow Austin Barak here. All right. So three, in technology, Lachesis continued. All right. So transactions. Okay. Transactions are confirmed nearly instantly within 1 second now, and soon faster. Finality is deterministic versus probabilistic with Nakamoto consensus used by Ethereum and Bitcoin. So Hashgraph and Lachesis, you know, Hashgraph is with Hedera Hashgraph, and that's kind of like the big World Economic Forum type of token and stuff like that. And it has validators. I believe it has like 32 validators, and they're all owned by huge, extremely large corporations and banks and stuff like that, where Phantom is not. You still have to put in a healthy chunk of change in order to run a validator node, but it's still anybody can do it. And I believe it's a little more democratized and it's all open source and everything like that, where Hedera Hashgraph is not anymore. So Phantom kind of seems to be a little bit more the Hashgraph for the people. Like I've said many times right now, I believe crypto is going one of two directions. It's either going to go the kind of locked in centralized route where you have to, you know, gain access through some kind of digital ID passport and able to use it, or it's going to be completely decentralized. I think there's going to be a cyber attack, honestly, and I think they're going to completely lock everybody out. And then in order to gain privileges, you have to sign up and get the digital ID. Otherwise, you won't get to access any of this stuff. But all this decentralization of a lot of these crypto projects, you know, like Ethereum and Bitcoin and Phantom, I believe, they throw a wrench into that for these people. And so you can go the route of the decentralized cryptocurrency route and use all those DeFi apps permissionlessly, uncensorable, and everything like that. And it's been proven now. With China censoring Bitcoin and kicking Bitcoin completely out of its country so they can bring in their central bank digital currency. And they even offer NFTs now on top of their Chinese CBDC, but they're government-sponsored NFTs, so they're not going to be that cool. But it just goes to show, like, there were tons of Bitcoin miners that left China with all their equipment and everything. And China was previously criticized as, like, owning most of the Bitcoin mining operations. And then if something happened to that, then Bitcoin would go into complete chaos. And it didn't. It was barely a blip on the map of Bitcoin. And it just showed that governments can't shut this stuff down, right? No matter how hard they try. And to me, in my eyes, you know, I think Hedera Hashgraph, back to this stuff, is a little bit more on the side of, you know, big corporation and, you know, and big tech and big government and stuff like that, where Phantom's a little more kind of on the side of the people. That's just my perspective. I might be wrong, you know, and I'm wrong about a lot of stuff. So correct me if I am, and I'm sure people will. So he says transactions are confirmed nearly instantly within 1 second now and soon faster. Finality is deterministic versus probabilistic, as with Nakamoto consensus used by Ethereum and Bitcoin. And then number four, technology. In contrast to Phantom's consensus mechanism, in Nakamoto consensus, finality of a transaction is probabilistic and requires a certain number of confirmations to be assured of its correctness, typically 35 transactions on Ethereum and 6 transactions on Bitcoin. So it takes several transactions, 35 on Ethereum, to actually be finalized, like to settle, and 6 on Bitcoin. It takes a while. DAG consensus, asynchronous BFT consensus, is a significant innovation. Allows for the type of time to finality, TPS, and cost structure needed for the long term. Thousands of transactions per second, transaction costs in the sense scalable to the thousands of nodes, 1 second finality. And if you're doing something like in the metaverse, or if you're driving a driverless car in traffic, or if you're doing something like that in real everyday life, you want something to finalize at the speed of life, you know. And Bitcoin and Ethereum don't really settle at the speed of life, you know. And So that's where I believe layer two technologies, things like the DAG technology will be in action and in play. And then I think, you know, all these types of transactions will be happening, you know, and transactions, I kind of sometimes just mean like messaging between entities and AI entities and things like that. And then, you know, at the end of the day, things will be settled on layer one solutions like Ethereum and Bitcoin. Another point about technology. Opera mainnet is the environment upon which decentralized applications can deploy on Phantom. Opera is Ethereum compatible, and any app built on Ethereum and written in Solidity can deploy mainchain to Phantom nearly immediately with minimal changes. So here's where the fusion of Phantom and Ethereum come into play. I have Opera Phantom RPC on my MetaMask wallet, you know, and so all I got to do is pull up my MetaMask wallet. Let me see if you can see it here. Let me get this in view. Oh, shoot. All right, so let me pull this up. So my MetaMask wallet is just up here in the corner. And let me pull this in and get that out. All right, there's my MetaMask wallet. Let me click on it right here. And so an RPC is basically how you connect another blockchain to your MetaMask. So you can use Web3 type of websites. And a Web3 website is any website that will connect to your wallet. Oh yeah, I have it on the wrong input setting. So you can't see the MetaMask window popping up. But anyway, I will extend view. And so you can kind of see the expand view. All right. But yeah, that's an RPC, and any Bitcoin that allow any blockchain will pretty much have some kind of RPC extension to be able to allow you to connect it, or it should, to MetaMask, so you can use it in a Web3 type of way, so you can connect to all the fun little dApps and exchanges and all that type of stuff. So right here, Ethereum mainnet, you just scroll down and you can see all the different RPCs. Here's Harmony blockchain. Phantom Opera is the one I'm talking about. There's Moon River, Polygon, Avalanche, Meter, Mumbai Testnet, Volta, Arbitrum, Optimistic, Huobi, Binance Smart Chain, Energy Web Token. So yeah, I got a buttload on here. But Phantom Opera is the one that I use. I was going to talk about Gnosis Safes today, and I kind of got sidetracked on all this stuff because, you know, that's what happens. all right, so so EVM compatibility. So Opera mainnet is the environment upon which decentralized operation applications can deploy on Phantom. So as you saw, all I have to do is just connect my MetaMask to any type of Phantom website. Opera is Ethereum compatible, and any app can be built on Ethereum and written in Solidity, and can deploy main chain to Phantom nearly immediately with minimal changes. So if you want to use Phantom, I mean, it's actually really easy. So if there's a DEX on here called SpiritSwap.finance. So you go to SpiritSwap, and I'm pulling it up right now, but there's like this super easy bridge on there. And I know I've talked about other bridges like Relay and Multiswap and Hop Protocol between all these different layer twos and stuff. But like, seriously, I just sat there and I bridged from Polygon to Phantom. Because the first time I did it was such a pain in the ass, you know, and then I bridged something from Phantom to Harmony and from Polygon to Harmony. And these are all like, you know, alternate layer ones besides Ethereum, and then other layer two solutions as well, you know, Arbitrum and Optimism and stuff like that, you know, to Phantom or to Polygon, and without going back down through Ethereum, because Ethereum is expensive. So if you can get around going to Ethereum, then you'll get around a lot of expensive gas charges. So this bridge here allowed me to easily and pretty seamlessly and cheaply go from Polygon to Phantom. So I had like, you know, I don't know, like 0.1 or 0.2 Ethereum sitting on Polygon. And I wanted to bring that over to Phantom. I did not want to have to bring that 0.2 Ethereum down to Ethereum first, and then bridge it back up to Phantom. You know, that's kind of like you have two buildings, like the Detroit towers, you know, and you have accounting in one of these towers, and they're at the top space, and you need to go talk to sales. So you have to go all the way down the elevator and then run across the courtyard and then go all the way up the other elevator in the other tower. It's called silos in the business world. And you know, you don't have to do that with this. So right here in SpiritSwap, you can go from, you know, let's say, you know, from Phantom right here. So if I want to take some profits and go from Phantom, but then there's this really cool dApp and this cool DeFi project over on Polygon, you know, so I can just go bam and go right over here to Polygon, you know, or I can go to Arbitrum, you know, if I wanted to use gmx.io or something, or you know, the SushiSwap Arbitrum version, I could do that. Or if I wanted to go over here to Avalanche and go use Wonderland, you know, dot money and jump into some time tokens, you know, so yeah, I could take my profits from HectorDAO and go over here to Avalanche and drop them into Wonderland.time. Yeah, and I could do it really cheaply and really seamlessly. And there's a lot of different options that you can do. Well, right here, let's see. I guess each one allows, you know, different type of options. So, you know, whatever blockchain you're using offers the different options there. But yeah, you know, and I did it for, I think I did it, I can't remember how much it was, but it was like under $5. So it was super cheap. Yeah, so I wasn't planning on talking about this today, but this is how it goes, right? All right, so it says EVM compatibility is extremely important because it allows apps struggling with high gas fees and low transaction fee times on Ethereum to deploy on Phantom as a pressure release valve mechanism, providing users with fast and cheap transactions. That is absolutely correct. So let's go back over here. All right. So, and then I said, just as importantly, both users and developers can use the same tools, making the experience seamless. This includes wallets like MetaMask and dev tools like Truffle, you know, that's what you code in Solidity using is Truffle, the Truffle suite. Because of this seamless compatibility, a number of Ethereum-based apps have focused on Phantom for their multi-chain deployment strategy, including Spell, Yearn Finance, Curve, ICE, and Sushi. A lot of these dApps and these DeFi applications and stuff like that are doing multi-chain deployments now, not Uniswap. And a few episodes back, I criticized Uniswap for, you know, sticking to, you know, one layer two, you know, Optimism and Ethereum only. I don't know if they're going to do well like that, you know, because right now, you know, the future for 2022 is interoperability. You can't just be Ethereum focused anymore. So abracadabra.money is building, you know, on Sushi as well. You know, they're building on Avalanche, they're building on Phantom. DeFi Kingdoms is building on Avalanche and Harmony, you know, and I think they're going to be building on the Binance Smart Chain as well. So all these applications are starting to become multi-chain, and you can jump on and use whichever version you want and all that type of stuff. And they're becoming easily bridgeable, like I just showed you in SpiritSwap.finance. EVM compatibility also allows synergies to flow in both directions. Native Phantom applications can start on Phantom for the incredible community and strong technology, fast, cheap, and scalable, knowing that they can easily expand multi-chain to Ethereum soon after, right? So that's the whole big thing about EVM compatibility. So Phantom architecture allows for the creation of app-specific chains beyond Opera. So not Opera the browser. I got that confused, you know, because I'm, you know, way back, you know, early 2000s web developer guy. And Opera was like the cool new browser back then. Although Opera is still doing stuff nowadays, and they've incorporated walls. But this is not the same Opera, is what I'm trying to say. So Phantom architecture allows for the creation of app-specific chains beyond Opera, customized for particular use cases as demanded by the app, but all interoperable and secured by Lachesis. All right, so technology, Phantom Virtual Machine. The Phantom Virtual Machine is currently being deployed, expected in 2022, which will improve scalability, cost, and finality on Phantom beyond the limitations set by the Ethereum Virtual Machine while still retaining Ethereum Virtual Machine compatibility. So Phantom is building its own type of virtual machine. You know, and on Cosmos, there's the Wasm machine as well. And, you know, a lot of those make Ethereum Virtual Machine look kind of clunky, you know, but they're still compatible with the Ethereum Virtual Machine because that is kind of what everything is becoming compatible with now, even if there are better alternatives within the blockchain. So immense traction, no sign of slowing down. Total value locked growth from sub 100 MM as recently as Q2 2021 to 6.9 billion today. Active address growth from 5K in 2021 to over 1.5 MM today. Over 150 MM transactions on Phantom to date. Yeah, that's a lot. Let's see here. Let's look at this little screenshot that they gave us. And for those of you listening, it's just basically looking at the rankings, I guess. I'm pulling it up right now. So it shows here Phantom, a 7-day change up 23.919%. On the total value locked and stuff like that. So it is one of the fastest growing blockchains right now, so that's pretty cool. And if you look a few episodes back, I've gone to the Phantom website, I've looked at their Explorer, I looked at, you know, the validators and stuff like that. I've tried to describe a little bit about what DAG technology is and that type of stuff. And then if you see here, the curve on the unique addresses chart from January to October, right around July, that curve started to spike upwardly, dramatically, of the Phantom unique addresses. So Phantom is growing. And then in point number 14, Austin Brock says, one of the most well-designed ecosystem incentive programs, any project that achieves and maintains specific total value lock slash active users levels is eligible. So it's an ecosystem incentive program that they're doing here. At current Phantom price, values incentives valued over $1 billion. So they're doing an incentive program. I'll look at that here in a second. I'm at 30 minutes. I got to go. So projects are best. Okay. So then within this ecosystem incentive program, he says projects are the best stewards of growth capital, can decide on funds use according to their growth objectives, token initiatives, hiring, grants, etc. Program has led to significant activity growth since launch. And then growth catalysts, Frog Nation. So he says Daniel Sesta and Squirrel Crypto are active in deploying Frog Nation projects, Spell, Ice, Sushi, Time on Phantom as the core high performance base layer environment, bringing with them hundreds of thousands of active users. Interesting. And additionally, it's important to remember that Frog Nation has early roots in the Phantom ecosystem. I don't really know what Frog Nation is. I'm going to have to look this up. Popsicle Finance, catalyzed by early Phantom DeFi and initial ICE holders, are some of the most ardent and Phantom supporters. Interesting. I'm going to look into ICE and Popsicle Finance. I haven't really checked it out yet. The Phantom FDM built and persevered through the entire 2018-2019 bear market and building impressive technology, an incredible dev and user experience, and a passionate community. Andre Cronhey, Michael Kong, Harry Yee, FTM Alerts, John Morris, and many others continue to work nonstop to drive forward Phantom architecture development, ecosystem growth, and synergies and community. Andre Cronhey is not just the architect of Phantom consensus mechanism and design, but is also a nonstop prolific builder. Andre has built Yearn Finance, Keeper, Fixed Forex, Rarity Game, Arteon, all with a focus on Phantom, bringing many new users. So basically anything that Andre Cronhey is involved in, this is me, not you. You can do what you want, but I'm dumping money into that. The L1 narrative played a dominant role, layer one, in market outperformance in 2021, and we don't expect that to change in 2022. We expect the dominant layer ones, including Ethereum, Solana, Avalanche, Luna, Matic, and Phantom, to continue to outperform. At a 7.2 billion cap, Phantom trades at a fraction of its peers' market cap, both on an absolute basis and as a value to total value locked. Phantom is also one of the lowest priced tokens of major L1s, which should help to drive performance due to price unit bias. One of the reasons for layer one outperformance versus Bitcoin is that they are productive assets, stake for yield, lend versus DeFi, etc. Phantom proof of staking yields approximately 10% are extremely attractive to people who want to run the validators and to stake as well. There are a number of reasons why I'm excited about Phantom, and I will likely build this thread into a larger post diving deeper into Lachesis, the FVM, and growth traction. Then number 25 of 25 on this 25 thread. I've written about Phantom many times in the past, but I'm super excited to share my thesis in greater length today. Hope you enjoyed it. And this was a great thread about Phantom, and I'm glad I kind of stumbled upon it by going to Andre Cronhey's Twitter page. So if you haven't followed Austin Brock, it's at Austin Barack, B-A-R-A-C-K. And it looks to be somebody really good to follow. And if you haven't followed Andre Cronhey, follow Andre Cronhey. He's one of the pivotal figures in crypto right now. It's Andre, A-N-D-R-A, J-E, Cronhey. I guess that's like Serbian or something. I don't know. I'm not really sure what nationality and name, but it's Andre Cronhey Tech. Is his Twitter handle. So AndreCronjeTech. And basically, I completely admire the dude. Anything that he gets involved in, I want to follow at the very least, and buy in at the best. So yeah. I sat there and I bought a bunch of Phantom tokens a couple days ago, and that's in addition to what I'd already bought a couple weeks ago. So yeah, I'm real bullish on Phantom right now, if you can't tell. All right. That being said, I gotta go. I gotta get my butt to work and go do the deal. Totally unplanned show. I was going to talk about Gnosis safes. I was going to talk about Parcel.money. And I've been meaning to talk about DreamDAO. I'm going to get around to talking about DreamDAO soon as well. So I just got a lot of stuff that I just, it's exciting stuff just popping up that I need to talk about, you know, and yeah, you know, you wake up in the morning and you have one plan in mind and then you see something cool and you're like, whoa. And that's what this show is all about, is not having a plan, because people in crypto don't really have a plan right now. We're all figuring it out as we go along here, you know, and the headlights only go so far for us to see. And you got to react quick. You know, I'm not saying hop from project to project and stuff like that. You know, it's good to be patient, you know, it's, especially in investing, like the most successful investors are the patient investors. But I just love technology and I love, you know, seeing all these new developments and stuff like that. And that to me is what I mean by hopping around. And yeah, every single new thing that pops out just kind of excites me. So, yeah. All right. Well, I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Hit me up. Give me a thumbs up or whatever on YouTube, Odyssey. Follow my podcast on Spotify and on Apple Play. Leave a review. Like, if you want to leave 5 stars, that's good. Not sure, really sure what that does, but hey. So yeah. All right. I will talk to you later. And let me get this screen up.
Thank you for making it to the end of this program. If you actually like this content, give a thumbs up. And if you want to hear more, just hit the subscribe button. I'm available on YouTube, Odyssey, and BitChute, and on all the major podcasting platforms in audio version. Spotify specifically. If you would like to follow and leave a review, that would help a lot. I am also available on Twitter at EurekaJohn1. That's EUREKA John, JOHN, and the number 1. My DMs are always open. Feel free to shoot me a message. If you would like to donate some stablecoin or Ethereum, please feel free to send it to eurekajohn.crypto or eurekajohn.eth. This will help with the gas costs for all these protocols that I mess around with. Because that gas adds up and I ain't rich. Yet. Thanks again.